This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. How do we decide who to vote for in an election? Is it about how much you think a candidate is going to raise your taxes, or because you have a gut feeling about their character? We continue our month-long series on voting with a look at voter psychology and campaign messaging. In a few minutes, we're going to talk to a pollster and a policy analyst. But joining us now to talk about the psychology of voting, we've got Robert Luskin. He's an associate professor of communication at Stanford University and a research advisor for their Center for Deliberative Democracy. Hi, how you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Good. All right. So list a few different factors that make a difference in how people vote.
Well, of course, there are policy issues, how you see the candidates in relation to your own policy preferences. There's retrospective judgments about how well or poorly things are going in the country. There's the reactions to the candidates as people, and there's party affiliation.
Do we have any sense of what's the most important?
Well, these things are difficult to sort out, but I think it's fair to say, reading over the studies of the matter, that at least in recent decades, the candidates' personalities have probably been the single most important factor.
One of the things we've taken a look at on our show is how personalities or perceived personalities play out in the age of television and blogs and this relentless onslaught of updates about what people look like, whether they're making a funny face, whether they made a gaffe. Has the perception of candidates or how you judge even those feelings that you have for a candidate changed because of how the media has changed?
What sort of change in the media do you have in mind?
The rapidity with which we see candidates' images change. You know, one day you'll see one speech live. You might see another speech by the same candidate live the same day. You'll see a blog post with images sometimes that look mocking of a candidate. That is not the case with what elections used to be like, where candidates were given a little more leeway to seem a little more presidential even before they were elected.
I'm not sure if that's had much effect. What has had a long-term effect is the penetration of society by television and information about what the candidates are like, or at least what they appear to be like, their personae on television, is now readily available, whereas decades ago it wasn't. And that's had an influence in raising the level of impact for candidate personalities.
Are people comfortable really talking to researchers about what they think? Are people honest?
Oh, I think they're generally honest. They're not necessarily that insightful. There's quite a bit of literature in psychology to suggest that people are actually not very good at knowing themselves what processes have led them to given choices.
Okay. When you take a look at this election, is there anything that stands out that's different from, say, 4 years ago, 8 years ago, 12 years ago, in terms of how people are making a selection of their candidate, or are the trends pretty much the same?
Well, I think the broad factors are the same. That is, there are a number of more minor influences, but the big influences on vote choice can be put under the headings I listed earlier. And I don't know that they're carrying greatly different weights either, but what has changed is how those factors are militating in this election. So in this election, of course, people see the Times as very bad. A lot of people are unhappy with American foreign policy, with the war in Iraq in particular. Still more so, a lot of people are worried about the economy and see the Bush administration as responsible for the current economic crisis. So on those counts and a few others, there is very widespread dissatisfaction with the Bush administration. So the what I described earlier as retrospective judgments are running very heavily anti-Bush, which means, since he is the Republican candidate, also anti-McCain.
Well, Professor, thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
That was Robert Luskin, Associate Professor of Communication and Research Advisor at the Center for Deliberative Democracy at Stanford University. He joined us from the studios at Stanford University. And we're continuing the discussion on what drives voters with David Basaitis, a Senior Policy Analyst for the Joint Center for Political and Economic Studies. It's good to have you on the show again.
Thank you.
All right. You released a national opinion poll on African Americans' attitudes in the election. So what are the primary motivators specifically for black voters this election?
I would say the dominant motivator is a dissatisfaction and unease with the economy. The economy is by far the number one issue. Almost 10 times as many African Americans mention the economy as any other issue. And they say 55% say that they're doing worse financially than they were doing a year ago.
Now, there's an assumption by some people that really this race is much more about race. Is there a can you say that people are voting based on the economy and then also factor how race influences their voting patterns as well?
I think it is.
And I mean the race of the candidate, not
right.
Their race.
I'll speak first about African Americans. There are conservatives who suggest that African Americans vote solely based upon race, or that they vote solely based because of the Democratic Party. But African Americans don't vote solely based upon race. There have been many black candidates, including for governor and for United States Senator, who African Americans have vigorously opposed. There are majority black congressional districts that are represented by white members of Congress. Gary, Indiana, a city that's almost 90% black during the 90s, had a white mayor. African Americans vote mainly on issues because the black population has, on average, lower incomes and much, much less in the way of assets than the white population. And so they don't have the luxury to be voting on what many of them would consider frivolous reasons. They have to get down to the things that are really important, and that's the economy.
Now, your study found that Barack Obama is viewed favorably by African Americans, but Bill Clinton had the highest favorable rating ever. So do you think that was based on his personality, his record, his perceived record, which is sometimes not the same as what the actual record is? Why do you think that was the case?
I'll tell you exactly what that was based upon. I just mentioned that in the survey I just released, 8% of African Americans said they were doing financially better than they were doing a year ago, and 55% said they were doing worse. When I asked that same question in 2000, at the end of Bill Clinton's second term, 45% of African Americans said they were doing better, and 10% said they were doing worse. And Bill Clinton mentioned, and this is from government economic statistics, that in his second term, African-American households made $5,000 more than they had made previously. That's a big increase over a four-year period of time, household income increasing by $5,000, more than what white household income had increased over that four-year period of time on average. And Bill Clinton's fabulous favorability rating in the fall of 2000 was a reflection of that.
When you've been doing this kind of work for quite some time, what can you say about the addition of new voters, non-traditional voters from the African-American community into the mix. How do you think that's going to throw off, first of all, the work of people like you, but also in general things like exit polls or you know, these last-minute pre-election polls?
Well, one of the problems with turnout that the African-American community has had for a long time was low turnout among younger African-Americans. That's also true of whites, young white people and young Hispanic people as well. But the African-American population is a lot younger than the white population. About half of the African-American population is younger than 31 years old, whereas to get half of the white population, you have to go to about 41 or 42 years old. So the black population is much younger. And that low turnout by younger African-Americans depressed black turnout overall. And this year, with the enormous enthusiasm that younger voters, including younger black voters, have for Senator Obama's campaign and his candidacy, I think there's going to be a big upturn in the number of African and percentage of African-Americans who vote in this election, because finally the sort of weak link in black turnout in elections is being remedied. Some of the polls have taken account of this. Gallup is releasing its tracking survey now with two versions, with a version with their traditional likely voter screen, which essentially discounts people who've never voted before in their polling calculations, and a voting screen that probably is more accurate reflection of what's happening right now, mm-hmm. which takes into consideration that there is going to be a big increase in turnout by younger voters, including younger African Americans. And consistently, Senator Obama runs 3 to 4 points ahead of what he does with a traditional voter screen than with this new voter screen.
Well, David, thank you.
You're welcome.
That was David Bisaitis, Senior Policy Analyst for the Joint Center for Political and Economic Studies, and he joined us from our NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C.